Let's do it. So here we go. We're going to begin with where we were last week. Every week, somebody new may be here, and I don't want you, especially when we're in the middle of a sermon series, they are ready there in the back. We're going to talk about where we were last week. So last week, we talked about this very statement that you see there on the screen in front of you as we are talking in this sermon series, where at the end of this, my hope and my aim is that all of us have a desire to wrestle to the ground our individual, my personal be, do, and go. In other words, I hope that we all understand collectively who we are charged to be in Jesus Christ. We know that collectively I am called to bear God's image. But because there isn't another Meredith Griffin like this Meredith Griffin, it's going to look different for me. And so I ought to be chasing after what does that look like for me personally. And so we've been in this series where we're talking about Made for More. And last week, as we're drilling down to, so just so you kind of understand how we're organizing this, these messages so far are trying to give us a heart for wanting to know more. I believe that you need this kind of space in a series like this because a lot of us just grew up going to church and understanding that showing up on Sunday morning was pretty much 90% of what God wants us to do. That if I just show up on Sunday morning and I sprinkle a little devotion on top of that during the week and maybe a good deed every now and again, and Lord help if I find myself to be one who is faithful in my financial giving, that what more could God want from me? And so I really want us to walk away before we start digging into, so how do I get to, what does it look like for me as I begin to drill down to what personal calling is for me? We ought to have an understanding of why it's important for all of us. That there can't be 95% of us inside any local church who want to know what I'm supposed to be about. Because that other 5% are equally important to God. If that 5% aren't doing what they want to do, and you'll see that in just a moment when we begin to talk about what we have in front of us this week, then something is going to be missing. Doesn't mean that we're not going to do what God wants us to do, but something's going to be missing. And even if we say the something that's going to be missing is simply going to be that one person or 5% of the people who are here on any given Sunday morning are not reaching their full potential. Somebody has settled before they got to Canaan and has come to understand that where they're dwelling, even though it is not where God ultimately wants them to be, that's good enough for them. And I don't know about you, but I can't let that sit right with me as a pastor. Because my role is simply to make sure that everybody here is not only equipped, but is encouraged and then motivated to go and be all God called us to be. And so last week, we really talked about the fact that I need to give up the way I want to do it. I need to give up me being central or king in my life. And we said calling is discovered when we make Christ as Lord central to our lives. How many of y'all know you can only have one king at a time? One's going to be in charge and the other is just a pretender. So if we say that I am in charge of my life, then in essence what we are telling God is you are not in charge of my life. You can't be Lord and I be Lord at the same time. So the first thing we talked about last week was this. We said calling is not about what you want to become, but about what you were created to become. Second, we said calling supplants me as sovereign king and recognizes Christ as Lord. And then last week we said we are called to live the life God always intended us to live. Some of us are living somebody else's life and wondering why we ain't having the fun we ought to have. Amen. So this week we're going to move just a step closer to beginning to unwrap or help us unwrap personally what our personal be, do, and go that sweet spot that we all have where we find why I am actually here, what I'm supposed to be doing, and where I'm supposed to go. This week, we're going to talk about Christ's fullness. I'm going to begin with this quote, and then I'm going to share this picture, something I saw this week and what it reminded me of, and then we'll jump in. This quote comes from an author, one of the teachers in this cohort that I've shared with you that I'm in for the next year. And he says this, Todd Wilson says, "The church is the most powerful movement in the history of the world, with the capacity to fill everything in every way with the fullness of Christ." Let me read that again. The church is the most powerful movement in the history of the world, with the capacity to fill everything in every way with the fullness of Christ. Question I'd have for you is, do you believe that statement? Do you believe that we as the church absolutely have been not only gifted by God, graced by God, empowered by God, but we're also sent by God to fill everything everywhere with the fullness of Christ? Let me say it another way, a way I've said it as we've been walking through this sermon series, that we are charged by God to be everyday missionaries in the places where we live, learn, work, and play. That God has absolutely equipped each of us to be in the contexts we find ourselves in, that I am the minister, I am the servant, I am the missionary, I'm the pastor in that setting. I am the one that God has set in that place to bear his image, to go about the work of making disciples right where God has sent me. That the church is the most powerful movement in the history of the world. That we have the capacity to take the presence of God everywhere we go. Do you believe that statement? Because let me just be honest, I'm not sure that we always, and I'm not just talking about us who are here, I'm not just talking about Harvest in its capacity or in its total, whoever may count herself or himself part of Harvest. I'm talking about the Big C Church. I'm talking about the small C Catholic Church. I'm talking about the Church Universal. I don't know that we have always acted as though we absolutely believe that God has made us not only unique, but God has given us the capacity to go everywhere we go and to take wherever we go the fullness of Christ in that place. Do we believe that statement? Another question, and this is the question that I want to use as our jumping off point this morning. Do you believe that your personal calling is connected to Christ's fullness being present in your community? You. That makes it different. That makes it different than us talking about Harvest. Watch. That makes it different than us taking up a collection and going and blessing a family. That makes it different. Because that begins to speak to, what am I when I wake up tomorrow? When I get out the bed, put my shoes on, I hope you put on more than shoes, but when I put my shoes on and make my way out the door to wherever it is I'm going, do I believe that my personal calling is connected to Christ's fullness being present in the community? In other words, when I walk out my house tomorrow, do I believe in the moment that my feet walk across the threshold of my home, do I believe that I am wherever God may send me in the day, the walking, talking, living, breathing expression of Christ and his love in the world? Do I believe that my calling, first, do I believe I have a calling? And second, do I believe my calling has an impact? This week, I went into Cabela's. Never been in Cabela's. Felt, you know, I'm not a hunter, not a fisher, right? Cabela's. So I said, but it's big, y'all. I don't know if it takes up a significant footprint at Christiana Mall. So I'm just going to roll in here, right? I'm going to go. I got me a little piece of straw, put it in my mouth, and walked in, right? Put my camouflage hat on with the flaps on the side. I walked, so I wanted to fit in, right? I wanted to fit in when I went into Cabela's. So I walked into Cabela's, and first of all, the place is huge. They really need a map. Everything in there is big. You walk in at the front, and there's a checkerboard sitting there, and the checkers on the checkerboard are this big. The place is big, right? So I walk in, and you can hear rushing water in the store. And you look at the back of the store, and there is this huge display of lions and tigers and bears, and oh my. But on either side are these giant aquariums. And I mean, and inside of these tanks are bass and trout and catfish and turtles, and you're looking at all of this stuff going in there. I said, man, that is a lot of water. And I'm looking at what's in there, and there are logs in there, and there are rocks in there. There's some pebbles in there. There are aquatic plants in there. There's some sand in certain places for filtration in there as well. And it reminded me of something that I saw a long time ago when Stephen Covey did this illustration where he was talking about making sure that we put the big rocks in our life in first. And so he had some sand and he had some pebbles and he had some rocks, and none of this matters, but I want to show you what wound up happening. At the end, what he was trying to say is everything has a place, and depending on what you put in first will determine if you can get everything in at all. And eventually he got everything in, but the last thing he put in was water. And water filled every crevice. Didn't matter where there was a space, wherever there was a space, when he put the water in, and I thought about that, that immediately came to my mind as I was looking at this tank filled with all of this stuff. I said, man, that water is everywhere. There's not a place in that tank where the water is not. There's nothing that's in there that is not being infected or affected by the water that's in there, because that water is permeating everything that's there. And I said, okay, God, so what you're telling us is that we are supposed to be just like that wherever we go. That you have made the church so unique that we have the capacity given by you that we are the water in the world. I'm going to jump ahead because this is too good to wait on. John chapter number 7, verse number 38. I need you to look at this. Jesus having this conversation. And then Jesus here in verse number 38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If you give yourself over to me, if you would stop being Lord of your own life and allow me to sit in the throne of your heart that is mine alone, if you would follow me and allow me to give you your unique personal calling, I can tell you that you are going to be able to go in places and affect things that you never thought you'd be able to affect. Because God has uniquely positioned the church that we alone are charged to live our lives in such a way that we carry with us the fullness of Christ everywhere. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. I want to continue here at the beginning. with these two verses of scripture, verses 22 and 23 in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter number 1. Talking about Jesus and what God the Father has given and sent as part of the mission of the Godhead for Christ. He says in verse 22, "And he, God the Father, and he put all things under his feet and gave him," this is Christ he's talking about, "as head over all things to the church." Stop. So God the Father sends God the Son and puts all things under his feet and gives Christ, our Lord, as head over all things to the church. Say it again. God the Father sends God the Son, puts all things under his feet, and sets him as head over all things to the church. Who's head of the church? Now y'all need to say it like you sure this time. Amen. Who's head of the church? Amen. Right? Look at the next verse. Verse number 23. Which is his body. What is the body of Christ? The church. Right? Which is his body. Watch this next one, because this is where we become that living water. He says, which is the fullness of him who fills all in all. So wait a minute. God the Father sends God the Son, Jesus Christ, and puts all things under subjection to him and makes him head over the church. Then says the church is his body, the body of him who fills all in all. So wait, we are supposed to be, since we are the body of Christ, the very moving part of him that gets done the very thing that he was sent to do. Where? In all. Everywhere. We are charged to be his fullness. I got to ask again, do you believe that statement? Do you believe that I got a part in that? How many folk in here work in corporate America? Just raise your hand. Put it down. How many folk in here work in the nonprofit sector? Just put your hand up, put it down. How many folk work for the government? Put your hand up, put it down. How many folk work for public entities, utilities and others? Put your hand up, put it down. How many folk are retired? Put your hand up. Praise God. Can we just give a hand clap for the retired folk? How many folks say, what's retirement? Put your hand up, put it down. How many entrepreneurs, put your hand up, you got your own thing. Educators, put your hand up, put it down. Some of y'all in between, because some of y'all ain't raised your hand for nothing. I tried to cover all things, but. Sister Alma, get your boy, that's all I'm going to say. I was trying to keep it out of the recording, but he wanted to be disruptive, so now he's forever recorded. Here's why I say that. Here's why the question is asked. Because in light of whether or not you believe it, really the ground where you're going to show whether you believe it or not is going to be that place where you spend 40 plus hours of your week. I don't believe that God has given us. How many folk are working in an area of your passion? Right? I got the job I got because I am passionate about this area. Amen. The rest of y'all just paying bills. I got it. We do that sometimes as well. And I'm that's not me being funny. That's me being for real. But you're still there. And while you're there, God has still for you something that you're supposed to be about. Now, I need here, before we get to this first point, and then we're going to move quickly when we get to the points, but I need to make this. Remember, we're building a ground for why Understanding your personal calling is important. Here's what we are going to have to begin to recast for us as the church. We're going to have to recast what it means to make disciples. I had a conversation yesterday, and this came up in the conversation. Because most of us, when we hear the charge from God that we are to go and make disciples, we immediately begin to think decisions for Christ. So when we tell somebody that you are charged to go and make disciples, immediately everybody begins to say, so I need to share the four spiritual laws, and I need to walk somebody from -1 to 0. In other words, I need to make sure that I am helping them transition from being dead, spiritually dead, to being a spiritual infant born again in the name of Jesus Christ. Here's the difference. What we need to understand is you're not always going to meet somebody on your daily walk who is spiritually dead and needs you in that moment to lead them to conversion. Help me. Some plant, some water. God gets the increase or gives the increase, which means I am going to meet people in my walk every day where I am who are somewhere on the continuum of discipleship. Some of the persons I meet are going to be spiritually dead. And the question I have to ask, given who I am and what my charge is God, what is my role in their life in this moment that helps them move from here to there? I might not get it all, but what if I meet somebody who's a spiritual infant? I don't have in this moment the opportunity to help them give their life to Christ because they've already done that. But Christ might not be Lord yet. They still may need to make that decision. Remember, we talked about you really can't have the kind of faith that leads to obedience unless and until I surrender. God, am I to help them understand that? Because if I am in even doing that, what am I helping to do? I'm helping to make a disciple. Point number one. God's call is about bringing life to us and through us. We are now at a place where everybody here ought to understand that this now, and this is point number two, that this now is no longer about me. That when God called you, how many folk believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? It's not a trick question, right? Put your hands down. When that happened in your life, God was doing two things at the same time. God was rescuing you from a position you could not rescue or extricate yourself from. You could not get yourself out of the bondage of sin. Not possible. So God was granting you by his grace, mercy, and power, he was granting you new life. But at the same time, he was granting you new life, he's calling you to life anew. And so when Paul in Galatians says that this life I now live, because I just got rescued, this life I now live, is I don't live it any longer to myself, but I live it to the glory of Christ, the one who gave his life for my life. So now, not only have I been rescued, praise the Lord, but I've also now been given not only a new opportunity, but a new mission. This life is now supposed to be different. So in the life that we're living, God is calling me, that God will give me new life. But in giving me new life, I am accepting from God. This is the piece we don't necessarily articulate as well as we should when folk walk down the aisle and give their life to Christ. Praise God that you got new life, but you also just got a recast mission. Because God now, as he has given new life to you, is now trying to use you as the conduit through whom he can give new life to somebody else. And so now I need to begin to understand that God calls me, not the pastor, God calls me.
not the elder. So everywhere I go, every opportunity I have to interact with somebody is an opportunity in that moment to bring the fullness of Christ into their life. I can hear the wheels turning. Well, Pastor, what does that look like? I don't know. You ever bought lunch for somebody? The fullness of Christ in their life, in that moment. You ever seen somebody in pain and you were just moved to sit down next to them and hug them? The fullness of Christ in that life, in that moment. You ever had somebody call you up and say, hey, I really am in need of somebody to come over here and help me put in this hot water heater? The fullness of, you're like, come on, but some of that stuff, Pastor, seems benign. We'll get to that in just a moment as well. We have to recast what we perceive the meaning of church is. It can't any longer sit inside the box that contains it in many of our minds, which is I go to church. Stop that. I belong to this church. Stop that. It's a brother in here today who just last Saturday said, as a room full of men were standing up and introducing themselves to each other and sharing what church they fellowship with, stood up and said, I count myself a part of the body of Christ and a member of whatever church I'm in. That's my family. We said, amen. I like that. And everybody I know at the moment was saying, man, I wish I had thought of that. That sounds good. That ain't what I thought he was asking, but that sounds good. I'm a member of wherever. This is where I go every Sunday, but I feel it's as much at home here as I do there. We've got to recast what we think, but we have to understand that God's call for us is not only about getting life to us. Too long we have taught from platforms a mentality that makes us buckets and not funnels. Amen. So we teach from the platform that God wants to bless you, that God wants to pour into you, that God wants to give you everything, that God wants to dump on you so much you don't have room enough to contain it. And watch this, all of that is true, but God is only doing it so that he can get it through you to other folk. Fort Knox got gold beyond measure. Watch this. Good example, and this leads us into point number two. Why do people rob banks? Right? That's what they said. They asked Jesse James, why do you rob banks? He said, that's where the money is. Makes sense. But whose money is in the bank? Exactly, right? So all that money in the bank, none of it belongs to the bank. All that blessing in me, all that gift in me. She flinched. I guess I've been hitting her kind of hard. I got you, boo. I got you. Woo, she ain't playing. Point number two, watch this. In God's call, your gift doesn't belong to you and it isn't for you. So we have to recast how we even understand or think about our gift. If I actually want to believe the statement that was at the beginning, that God has actually done all of this in the church, and the church is unique in the world to be able to fill the world with the fullness of Christ wherever we go, then I have to understand that my gift isn't mine, and it's not for me. That the stuff I have, I actually ought to be looking for opportunity to give away. Amen. And the more of it, watch, the more of it I give away. This is God's economy. It's the amazing thing about God. The more of it I give away, the more of it I have, the more I pour out. God, how is it I'm still pouring out and I'm never empty? Watch this. You can't empty a funnel if the water stays on. Yeah. But a bucket can be empty. Because only a fool gonna keep pouring into a bucket once it's full. God, how is it that as much of me as I keep pouring out, you keep pouring into me? And Lord, truth be told, some of the stuff you pouring in is better than the stuff that went out. So the second group of folk to get it gonna get more than the first group of folk got. Because my gift doesn't belong to me. Why? Go back to Ephesians, chapter number 1. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Our call and charge by God is to go and to be that, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If I believe in him, think about the picture of the one he's talking to in John chapter 7, verse 38, who, if I believe him, if I yield to him, if I make him Lord and I abdicate the throne of my heart and life that I have myself, that out of me will flow streams of living water. So the stuff that people get, I can't take credit for because it's not mine and I didn't put it here. But the one who put it here, and it will never stop as long as I understand who I am and who he is and who I am in him and why I am here. And as long as I am willing to say that this gift that God has given me is meant for me to give, God will make sure there's something there for me to give to somebody else. Do you believe the statement? Or, and listen, this is not an indictment. This, I just said, most of us grew up in context in church where we were taught that I get saved and then I get mine. Right? Let's be honest. Oh, that's what they're doing down there? Bet I'll be down there on Sunday. I'm going to get saved. Because what you told me is, I'm going to get saved and then I'm going to get mine. Christ going to hook a brother up. Real talk. And watch, because it is laughable, but it makes us in many ways not much, if at all, different from the people we're trying to reach with the gospel. Because if we don't recast what we understand we were called to and called to become, then we find ourselves here at the altar every Sunday praying for the same stuff here that they're playing the Powerball out there for. We find ourselves wrestling with all the same stuff that, watch this, and here's the hypocrisy in that. The hypocrisy in that is we know we are sitting here with the same mindset they have, except we're believing Jesus gonna fix it. We praying the same prayers they're praying to whoever they're praying to out there, except we believe Jesus gonna fix it. And then we have the hypocrisy, the audacity, the unmitigated gall to get up from the altar, go out there and invite them to church. To come into the same understanding, as skewed as it may be, that we have, rather than trying to act, wait a minute, God, what is this really supposed to be about? Do I really believe? Because see, if I really believe, and go back to last week and the week before, if I really believe, then there are going to be some things I'm going to have to change about my understanding of all this stuff and thing that I call life, and I'm going to have to give some of that over to you. And so what I actually become, remember last week's point, what I actually become may not be what I am now, because maybe what I'm chasing now is what I want to do. And understanding and accepting God's call is not about what I want, but about what you've called me to be. Last point. I'm out your hair. Church, faith community, is the place where we are built up, healed, and launched into the call. Let me make this as plain as possible. There's nowhere in Scripture where we are authorized to do this by ourselves.
period. What we just read, remember Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It says he gave Christ to be head of what? The church, which is his body, right? The church. Now, we can say, yeah, but pastor, that's Big C Church. That's Church Universal. That's not the small. And anybody who is a member of the body, meaning I've given my life to Christ, I am a part of the church. Got you. But you know what? Nowhere in Scripture will you see people who just said, I am part of the body. I gave my life to Christ. And I am a part, meaning one word, A-P-A-R-T, from the local fellowship. People became part of the church and were not apart from the local expression of the church. Why? Because what God wants us to become is what people there are yearning for. What God wants to be able to express in the bounds of this familial group called the church is that we actually can't think about it. How are you going to tell me, non-believer, that you are the walking, talking, living, breathing expression of God's love in the world, that you are bringing the loving presence of Christ everywhere you go, and I don't even see it amongst y'all? How are you going to tell me you love me, and I'm looking at you and your brother, and clearly you don't love him? Something's not right. So the church is supposed to be the place where we come in and we're built. The church is the place where somebody comes and they have heard of the gospel, they have heard of Christ, they move along the continuum, they have this crisis of faith where they move from being spiritually dead to being a new believer, they're now a spiritual infant. Now what happens to me? I have to connect you to the place where you don't, because the most dangerous thing in the world is sending an infant out to do what they don't know. So I got to connect you. Nobody has a baby and then shows them the refrigerator, gives them the car keys, and tells them make their bed. It doesn't happen. What you do is you connect them to a family that allows them to grow. And what we understand is we have people who will come in here and they've been hurt by some things that they need to be healed from. But ultimately what we want to do is grow you to the point where you have a different understanding. Watch this. God's call is to give you life and to get life through you. First, we're going to fix you. Then we're going to send you, because God needs somebody else to see. Have you ever seen somebody restore a car? Right? Or fix up, like you drove past that house forever and you were like, Lord, why don't somebody do something about that? And one day you saw that the sale sign was gone to sold and you watched it go through the stuff. Okay. Full disclosure. I used to live in that house. Right? We bought it up as a fixer-upper. I thought I was going to get my Bob Vila on this old house. It was 100 and something years old. And we lived in that house for 12 years. I painted. But we had to sell it, so we were going to move. We had contractors coming in because we wanted to sell that house. Contractors came in. Brother Ed, they started fixing stuff up. They started doing floors and putting in new bathrooms. I ain't going to lie. At the settlement table, I was a little salty. Because I said, this the house I want to live in right here. And the mortgage ain't twice what it was. This is the house I want, right? That's what we do. We're called to bring people from a place where they were not and to clean them. We don't clean nobody up. And to put them in place where they understand God's power to remake them and make them over. But it's not just for them. We don't create buckets. We create funnels. I send you back out so that people can see you and say, I remember that jalopy. Now it's a classic. How'd you do that? I'm glad you asked. You need to come and see what's happening here. Calling is best discovered in a community of faith. This is the place where you work that out. This is the place where you have people surrounding you who love you, know you, understand you, and can help you with some of the questions that go to discovering calling. Why? Because we weren't meant to do this alone. Our faith journey was never meant to be done by ourselves. Verses for that, you can write these down or you can download the app, and it's all right there for you in the app. We're not going to read these today. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I'm sure it's familiar to most, if not all, who are here. Let me get to these takeaways. Takeaways for today. We do these every Sunday because if you didn't get anything out of what we said, hopefully you'll get these next things. Takeaways. Do you believe that your personal calling is connected to Christ's fullness being present in your community? Do you believe that? That's where we were today. First thing we said, God's call is about bringing life to us and through us. We're on the CTA/takeaway slide. Number two, in God's call, your gift doesn't belong to you and isn't for you. Last, church is the place where we are built up, healed, and launched into our call. Last thing, so what are we going to do this week? Let's do it again. Why not? We got about a little more than a dozen folk who are joining us on this prayer call every Wednesday, so we're going to do it again. Choose a day and fast from lunch this week. My day is Wednesday. Spend time that day praying for the following. We've got two things this week. God, help me to embrace your desire to use us to carry the fullness of Jesus into every corner of the world. And second, God, help me to live as a vibrant member of a local faith community. Last slide. Prayer call information. We'll be there this Wednesday from 12:30 to 12:45. It's not the traditional prayer call. We literally are going to read one verse, and then we're going to pray for 15 minutes over those two things that we just spoke of. I want to remind you that if you are looking for these slides, all you need to do is go into whatever platform you're using, whether it is Android or Apple. Download the Faith Life app, find Harvest Christian Fellowship. You'll see our logo, so you'll know it's us. Join that group or follow that group, and then you will see under, I believe it's called content, you'll see bulletins. This is now an electronic bulletin, so literally every slide that you just saw on the screen is there for you. You don't have to take pictures unless you just like doing that. Amen. Let's pray.